the inhuman flogging, the naked humiliation. Heaven watched and saw it all. Our rebellion, our guilt, our shame, erasing the very notion of reconciling us with God, our sin and our debt, overcoming Jesus. Here is our King, obliterated. The enemy laughing, his plans unstoppable. There's no longer the sound of freedom rising. Now God's people are utterly broken. Behold the chains of mortality. Yes, this is what is true. We had heard the stories of old. The lost are found, the blind can see, the weak are made strong. But now we are witnesses to this reality. God is dead. We'd almost believed there is a way of redemption. There is a life of fulfillment. There is a peace beyond understanding. Now we know better. For us, we can say that God is encapsulated in this one realization. The single greatest sacrifice in human history is finished. How clearly we can see it. So what's so good about Good Friday? Just one thing, that the blood of Jesus can reverse the curse of sin and raise the dead to life. How clearly we can see it is finished. The single greatest sacrifice in human history encapsulated in this one realization. We can say that God is for us. Now we know better. There is a peace beyond understanding. There is a life of fulfillment. There is a way of redemption. We had almost believed God is dead, but now we are witnesses to this reality. The weak are made strong. The blind can see. The lost are found. We had heard the stories of old. Yes, this is what is true. The chains of mortality utterly broken. Behold, freedom rising. Now God's people are unstoppable. There's no longer the sound of the enemy laughing. His plans obliterated. Here is our King, Jesus, overcoming our sin and our debt, reconciling us with God, erasing the very notion of our rebellion, our guilt, our shame. Heaven watched and saw it all, the naked humiliation, the inhuman flogging, the brutal beating, and this was deemed sufficient for all of us. We told ourselves that we were in control. All along, these were the plans firmly in the hands of God. Our sin drove the nails. Our sin stopped his heart. And yet, this is the incredible part of it. He never stopped loving us. The bright light of our future all in one moment, bringing death to death by way of a cross. This is the story of Jesus, the Son of God, an innocent man putting to an end the wrongdoing of all humanity. How can one describe such a day? Good Friday.
Your brow, your hands, your feet, with nails and thorns, the veil was torn to make a way for me. Lord, you made a way for me. Jesus, Savior, my God, my King, my Lord. Jesus,
Bible says that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, while he was eating a supper to commemorate with his disciples, that he instituted a new supper for a new covenant. It's called the Lord's Supper. It's called the Lord's Table. It's called communion. And he took bread and broke it and gave it to them and said, "This is the new covenant that I'm making with you." As we celebrate the Lord's Supper tonight, it is the Lord's table. Therefore, we feel that it's his to restrict and not ours. If you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, we invite you to partake with us. We're going to pass out to everyone, hold, and then we'll partake together at the end. Thank you. It says he took the bread and he broke it and said, now I want you to take this and eat this, because this is my body, and when you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Father, thank you for the sacrifice of Christ, the body of Christ, the means by which the veil that separated us from you has been torn down. And now, Father, because of his body, we are invited into your presence. Thank you for Jesus. Amen.
Follow the same pattern with a cup and distribute to each person, and then drink it together.
Thank you.
Shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And so we can hope in Christ, because he shed his blood for us. When we receive him, we stand clean before a holy God. It's amazing. If you believe that, let's drink in remembrance of him. Father, thank you for sending your son, for his precious blood that was shed on Calvary's tree for us. Father, thank you that we can receive that good gift and be changed eternally. Thank you that in him is life. He gave it up so that we could enter his death, be forgiven, and rise again with him. Thank you that you've done all these things for our sake, to the glory of God. In your name we pray. Amen. Tonight I'd like to meditate just on one verse, taken out of Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. But far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. I'll read that one more time. But far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. I met with a friend who's a business manager in town this morning, and he was telling me that the meetings that he'd been to that week, he said, you know, it seemed like all the people wanted to do was sit around the table and brag about themselves. Ever felt that way? It seems like it's easy for us to just set out to try to make ourselves look good so we can boast in ourselves. But Paul says, I boast in one thing, and only one thing, and that is the cross of Jesus Christ. The Roman cross, an instrument of torture, punishment, death. The Roman government's purpose was to use it to keep the populace in check, to keep them frightened and intimidated. People viewed it with utter horror and disgust. It is shocking that Paul views it as something to boast in. Somehow this was in the center of Paul's thinking in his life. But even more shocking is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was killed, brutalized on a Roman cross. God in human flesh, Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, hung on a Roman cross, an instrument of humiliation. Scandalous, the most evil thing that ever existed, that ever happened in all the events of human history. So why did Paul boast in the cross? Why is that something to boast in? Let me offer three thoughts. First of all, it offers forgiveness. Paul saw himself as the chief of sinners, and the cross was an instrument that God had his Son endure to pay the price of Paul's sin, the chief of sinners. The wages of sin is death. Paul felt like he had committed more than any other. And Jesus paid that price and that wage on that cross. We see on that cross, it speaks of our sin, the nature of it. Sin is vile. It is deceitful. It is dark. It is perverse. Oh, we try to minimize it, don't we? We try to minimize sin and its effects. But, and this is how kind of we answer, I think, people. We say, oh, others do it, right? It's not that bad. Don't be legalistic with me, right? Don't give me rules I have to follow. People deserve what I'm dishing out after all. Right? We excuse ourselves. But Jesus on the cross says something quite different. Jesus on the cross says we're in serious trouble. It won't be just an improvement project that gets us right with God, some cleaning up or some educating or some rigorous discipline we put ourselves to. We need to be made entirely new and entirely different. We need a death and we need a resurrection, every one of us in this room. And that's why Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Because Paul knew that he needed Jesus' death. And Paul, as the chief of sinners, said, I am justified in the cross and his death for me by faith. Forgiven, I get a new beginning. I texted a friend this week, and I texted him. I said, how are you doing? And his text back a few hours later, I'm waiting to die. Is the pressures of life, the need to perform, the condemnation that I feel from others. I said, you don't need to wait to die. Jesus died for you so you can live. He's a good friend. I said, now get up. Get going. He knew that was true. We find forgiveness in the cross. That's why Paul boasted there. We find love in the cross. That's why Paul boasted there. He sees love demonstrated and offered to us. He said, God demonstrated his love to us and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus' death on the cross is an extreme expression of God's love. He, God, knowing everything about us and everything we've ever done, looks at us when we've trusted Jesus as Savior and accepts us. And he shows his love to us by sending Jesus to die. This is healing for us, right? He sent his son to seek and save the lost, to seek us out that we might turn to him and trust him. This is so life-giving. It's God's love in the middle of our brokenness that heals our souls. Mary and I have been reading a book together at night before we go to bed about the love of a couple, particularly the wife, for a homeless man. And it speaks of the persevering love of this couple to reach out to this man at the homeless shelter. Long-suffering, steady perseverance in seeking him out. Looking past his brokenness, knowing there's a heart underneath. His heart was protected by a hardened shell and pride. And they kept loving him. And it got through to him, and it transformed his life, and it changed him. And he found Christ. And we're sitting there reading this night after night after night, reading about this love that this couple had for this man, and we're just weeping profusely together every night before we go to sleep. And it reminds us of how much God loves us, right? Spiritually, we are empty. Spiritually, we are needing a place to belong. Spiritually, we are hungry, and we see in the cross that God loves us. And so Paul boasted in the cross because it showed God's love. Finally, Paul boasted in the cross because in it he could find life. This verse that we read says that Paul was crucified to the world and the world to him. See, in his previous life, Paul found his purpose and his significance in his performance and in his doings and in his ability to outdo others, his comparisons and his personal accomplishments, things that the Bible said are things of this world. And Paul says, I am crucifying those. Those things are now garbage, he says in Philippians 3, compared to knowing Christ. I've put my faith in Jesus, and it is that faith that has given me Christ's righteousness. And now I stand before a holy God, complete and righteous before him because of what he did, not anything I do. This was the cross, that now in the cross Jesus died for us, and therefore God treats us with total acceptance and love and mercy. He pours out his blessings upon us. For all those who receive him by faith, now we stand in his favor. Accepted, treated with nothing but love and mercy and blessing. We deserve judgment and wrath and separation, but Jesus took that on the cross, and now we're accepted. This is why he boasted in the cross. And so tonight, when I go out to dinner with my wife and enjoy her, it's because of the cross. Right? The blessings I have are because of the cross. When I get up tomorrow morning and enjoy the warm spring day, it's because of the cross. I talk to my family this weekend, celebrate Easter, when I walk in a beautiful park near my house, when I pet my pug, right? It's because of the cross. It's a blessing. When I show up on Sunday morning to enjoy the beautiful music, when I hear God's words preached, when I feel the love of God's people, all the blessings that I have in my life are because of the cross. And so Paul says, I boast in the cross. Now let me say one last thing, and I'll be done. All this boasting would be an amount to nothing, except for one truth. That Jesus hung on a cross and he died and he was buried, and on the third day he was resurrected. That's the gospel. Today is Friday. We celebrate his death today, but Sunday's coming.
Shame is a prison, as cruel as a grave. Shame is a robber, and he's come to take my name. Love is my redeemer, lifting me up from the ground. Love is the power where my freedom song is found. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna rise up out of the ground. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Between death and life, there on a tree, the Lamb of God was crucified. And he went on down to hell, he took back every key. He rose up as a lion, now he's setting all the captives free.
Hold his body down. Amen. Well, he came, and they laid down palms. A week later, he laid down his life. In 3 days, y'all, Sunday's coming. Amen. Thanks for being here.
Darkest places I will call. Incline your ear to me anew and hear my cry for mercy, Lord. Were you to count my sin? Come before your throne, yet himself has paid the price, that all who trust in him today find healing in his sacrifice, that all who trust in him today find healing in his sacrifice. Saw.